that is that, say you're digging, you're digging for water. So you go down, you know, whatever, 3 feet, and you don't get water. So you think, oh, there's no water here. So then you think, okay, let me go to Rasika Vaishnav 1. And then you go down 3 feet there, you think, oh, well, you know, now I'm really going to get it. Go down 3 feet. You don't get anything. So then you go to Rasika Vaishnav to the 10th power. And you know, go down another 3 feet. Oh, there's nothing here. And, you know, you just keep going here and there. And it could be anything. I mean, it could be anything. Whereas if you would have been patient and just kept going deeper where you are, you could have hit water. But you were impatient. You're going hither and thither. And, you know, going hither and thither could mean many things. Somehow or other falling from the path, or somehow going off the path, at least. So it's better to be patient and just go deep. And now Bhaktivinoda Thakur will tell us what the mood of a patient devotee is. Being impatient due to prolonged sadhana, some people fall from the path to the ultimate goal. Therefore, a practicing devotee who wishes to achieve his goal attains that result only when he becomes patient. Quote, Krishna must be merciful to me either today or tomorrow or after 100 years or in some other birth. I will take shelter of his lotus feet with determination and never leave. This type of dharya, patience, is most desirable for the practitioners of devotional service. So I'll conclude with one other pastime on this point about patience. Once Lord Chaitanya at Srivas Thakur's home was calling forward different devotees and giving them benedictions, one after the other. But one of the devotees who was quite, intimate with the Lord and his devotees was Mukunda. And the Lord didn't call him. And, you know, one by one he was calling everyone else, but not Mukunda. So one of the devotees, maybe Srivas Thakur, he said, you know, Mukunda's your dear devotee. Why aren't you calling him? You're calling everyone else. And he said, Mukunda, when he's with us, he talks like a Vaishnav, but when he's with the Mayavadis, he talks like one of them. It's like with one hand he's offering me a lotus flower, and with the other hand he's hitting me on the head with a club. I will never call him. So they conveyed the message to Mukunda, who was waiting outside. And Mukunda said, well, that's all right. He's punishing me. I deserve that punishment. But will he never call me? Will he never invite me back into his association? So they conveyed that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, after 10 million lifetimes. So when Mukunda heard that, he became jubilant. The Lord will call me. He will invite me back into his association in 10 million lifetimes. But he wasn't worried about the 10 million lifetimes. All he cared about was that one day the Lord would accept him. And he began to literally dance in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, being the super soul in everyone's heart, understood how much faith Mukunda actually had in him. First, he admitted his mistake. He didn't consider himself to be an innocent victim. He accepted he was wrong, and he accepted the punishment. But he was hoping for some mercy. And when he heard 10 million lifetimes, that wasn't a big thing. But the Lord will call me into his presence again. That's what he heard. And he was so happy. And Lord Chaitanya, in his being in Mukunda's heart, understood how much faith he had. And he said, call Mukunda immediately. So 10 million lifetimes, because of that quality of Darya, patience, and patience is based on faith. It became reduced to like 1 minute. And Mukunda, he was in so much ecstasy, he could hardly even hear it when they were telling him Lord Chaitanya is calling you. So that's the virtue of patience. That 10 million lifetimes became reduced to a few seconds. So this topic is very intricate. There are many, many cases, sort of complicated cases that we could discuss. But I think rather than I'm sure many of you have questions that I could address without you even asking, but I think it's better to let you ask or comment, and we can use our time in that way. Yes, Janmashtami Prabhu.
Regarding talking about others with reason, you know, when someone's involved with management and pushing the movement on, there's necessarily discrimination of who does what and, you know, what particular skills a person has or qualities or maybe disqualifications. So, how can that be done in a way that always remains favorable?
That's a very good point, and we do need to do that. The main thing, of course, is our intention. Are we really thinking of the welfare of everyone? And, you know, if our hearts are clean and we're not impelled by envy, hatred, and other such impediments, then we can do that without causing offense. What I've seen, not even seen because I really haven't been in management for quite a while, but what I've heard is that, you know, devotees will find some individual to be unsuited to a particular service. Rightly or wrongly, but even say rightly. But they don't think, what will the devotee do instead? Which is a very big defect, huge defect. Once, maybe 20 years ago, when I was involved in management, I happened to visit my parents' home, and the radio was on, and there was a major discussion about how organizations treat employees who they're letting go. And, you know, they were discussing it quite at length and in quite detail how they should provide for their employees after they leave or in the period of transition so that they're not lost. So that's just one example that we should think of the welfare of everyone involved and not just the service that we're trying to get accomplished at a particular time. And that, you know, but otherwise in and of itself, it's true, we do have to see what's best for the person, what's best for the service, what's best for the mission. Would anyone else like to contribute on this topic?
It was a very nice class. Very nice topic. I was remembering one of your lecture many years back. You were talking about Vallabha Bhatta, how he indirectly forced Gadadhar Pandit to hear. So in that reference, you mentioned many things, including Morarji Desai's in relation with Prabhupada. And so I was thinking, like, sometime it is not possible to avoid in a circumstance from a close relative or friend not to hear, even though it is ill motive or some intention maybe bad, and how to maybe properly taken in the heart, maybe it should be checked or advised by you and others. At the same time, I remember also one lecture of Radhanath Maharaj on Ramayana, that how Kaiki, she was hearing from Mantra, and there was not much choice she had at that time, but she was not judged on that basis that she heard from Mantra. But she was criticized by the different acharyas that she did not take any other person's opinion to see what Mantra said, how to see that, whether it is applicable. So as a result, because she was on her own decision, she decided to believe everything she heard. Her kindness became cruel. She was very gentle. She became harsh. She was very wise. She became fool through her actions. So in that reference, I'm just practically asking what your suggestion.
Well, you made very good points in the course of your question, and but just to deal with the general question, what if someone approaches us to speak about others? How do we deal with it? So one simple approach it would be when the person begins, you say, you know, before he or she goes too far, you say, do I really need to hear this? And that will make the person stop and think, you know, does he really need to hear this? Probably not. And then he might think further, do I really need to say this? Probably not. You know, different devotees respond in different ways. They have different approaches. Like there's one book distributor in Los Angeles named Gauri Dasi, who's very elevated. And whenever someone would approach her and begin by saying, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" "Oh, yeah, I did. That person distributed so many books the other day. That person did such nice decoration of the deities." You know, she would immediately turn the topic to glorification of the devotee. And sometimes, you know, it may be, you know, you say, just somebody would say, "You know, I'm sorry, but I have my rounds to chant." And like, you don't like reject the person or excuse, you know, "I have my rounds to chant, but if you want, you can chant with me." Or I have my quota of reading, or if you like, you can join me. And if they join you, it's good. And if they walk away, at least it's not bad for you. So, yeah. And sometimes, again, it really depends on the mood. If their mood is malicious, then we really can't entertain them. But if they're just like upset about something, they may need to like get it off their chest with someone. And so as a friend, it depends on the mood, but if they're just like upset and they have to tell someone, you can listen to it. And or you might be upset. And this is where I think that the example of Kaikei not consulting is very relevant. You know, you can consult someone else. Like, I'm seeing this in this person. But is it me? You know, am I just envious? Am I just projecting my own faults onto the other person? Or is there really something there? And by approaching a more mature devotee, maybe a more mature, pure, I can get some insight into the other person. And actually, it's not like what you're thinking, it's something else. Or it could be, well, what you're seeing is there, but it's like spots on the moon. It's really very insignificant, you know. Or it might even be serious. Is that actually, he does have that problem, and now that you mention it, maybe I'll speak to him. No. But take it to someone who is able to guide you in your perception of the other person's fault. And that's why it's so important, you know, guyam akyati prichati, to be able to reveal your mind in confidence. Because, and that's it brings us back to controlling the urge to speak, you know. We need to be able to reveal our mind in confidence to people without fear that they'll repeat what I told them. Because, you know, I may have a question about a very senior devotee. I don't, you know, it's a sincere question. I'm confused. I mean, I'm seeing this. I just don't know, you know. So I need to consult someone. But if we don't keep confidence in our confidential discussions, then people will be afraid to confide, and then they'll they'll miss that, you know, guidance that could help them. So confidentiality is very important. Very important. That's part of controlling the urge to speak. Yes?
Oh, okay. That's better. I remembered a quote that my father used to repeat. He didn't invent it, but it's so appropriate here. And it went, there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us.
Hari Bol. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes, 1 and 2. One, two, three.
Maharaj, I've heard that if we do commit offense, then the only rectification is to glorify that devotee. But over the years that I've stayed with devotees, I don't know how many people I've offended. I don't even know who I've offended, who I haven't. But I'm sure I have. Many of them. It's almost like an integral. The added offenses is in my history, decides what I'm doing now and how I'm going to advance. So I feel powerless to go back and rectify that. Maybe some comments on that.
So that's your comment on your situation, that you can't do anything.
My question is there a solution?
Well, you know, it's sort of hard to tell from your question how severe or how prolonged your offenses have been. Huh? So they're all saying it's not bad. Either they don't know, or they don't want to commit offenses, or they're not bad. But one devotee asked that question to Srila Prabhupada. You know, I commit so many offenses during the day, and if I were to go and ask forgiveness from every devotee I offend, I'd be spending all my time asking for forgiveness. So Srila Prabhupada said that in the morning, after Mangal Arti, we all bow down and offer Vaishnav Pranam, and that's our way of asking all the Vaishnavs to forgive us for our offenses. Can you do that? Okay. Yes. There's someone at the back. Two people at the back.
Maharaj, sometimes we would think, well, I'm just saying things as it is. I'm not committing offenses to anyone. I'm just saying the truth. I'm not one of these persons who would just try to polish things and thus, you know, cover it and make it worse. I see somebody does something, I'm just going to say it because I'm trying to help that person to advance. Hey, you're doing something wrong. I'm telling you straight as it is. How would you describe that mentality?
That's if you genuinely want to help the person and you're correcting him for the sake of helping the person improve, then it's fine. It's good. It's sometimes we need that. But you know, we'll leave it at that. Yes, sir.
Hi, Krishna. Maharaj, you said about when you were looking for water digging for water?
Yes.
And you mentioned one Rasik Vaishnav, two Rasik Vaishnav, Vaishnav number three. So you're suggesting to stay where there might be water, although you haven't found yet another question. Because you mentioned Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he had his first guru, Yadunandanacharya. And it seems like you would say, stay with him, don't go to Srup Damodar, Nityananda, Chaitanya, Rup Sanatan, who were his sixth, who were his second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh gurus. In other words, you would say, stay put, according to what you say. I don't think you would say that, but according to the example, you would say, not, don't go to another guru.
No, Satchinandan Swami was talking about people who leave this khan. The Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, every one of his gurus was pointing him towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there was complete, like, unity and harmony among them. And the injunction is that one can have only one Diksha Guru, but one can have many Shiksha Gurus.
Unlimited.
Huh?
Unlimited.
I said many.
Okay.
But they should be in harmony. You know, and all of Raghunath Das Goswami's gurus were. They were all helping him to achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. So it was, that's what we all want. We all want support from wherever we can get it, from all sides. But that support should be, you know, harmonious with you know, Srila Prabhupada and our parampara. You're not satisfied.
No, that's okay if they're harmonious, but harmony is a, you know, somebody will say it's harmonious, somebody will say it's not, depending on the external, internal consideration.
Well, we would like to be harmonious internally and externally.
And if the two clash?
Well, then, if you have one guru, the two aren't going to clash. The clash can only come when there's more than one guru. So you don't want to have a Shiksha Guru that's going to cause conflict with your Diksha Guru or with others, or with other Shiksha Gurus.
And then we consult the Shastra to see which one, or which is the most inspiring or which is the most correct, no? Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu.
And then, I mean, this, I don't know, do you have something sort of underneath your questions?
There's all kinds of Vaishnavas in this big community.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Prabhupada's books, and he says, you know, Bhagavad Gita, then Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita gradually elevating. And in Prabhupada's purports, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so much historical as well as philosophical information.
Yeah.
In other words, when you say, when you pointed that out, the Rasik Vaishnav, number one, number two, so the application, if we see, in other words, if we attend the program and somebody's speaking, or even in a temple here, somebody's speaking, and he's just speaking Krishna Harikatha, Krishna consciousness. So is there a harm if he has a little different opinion? Like there's some people here are, there's different branches, even within this community, it's different. Like this morning, there's so much, I'm very nice to see so many devotees show up at night, but we don't always get that many in the morning. So.
Well, I think you probably know better than I what the situation is, so I leave it to you to adjust all these complexities. I'm just a humble, pretentious, okay. Humble servant. Yes. But I do want to reiterate, maybe I shouldn't have quoted him, but it was Satchinandan Swami who said that.
Jai Maharaj, thank you so very much for your visit here. I was just thinking about speaking of others. Even materially speaking, the professionals, they categorize intelligence as the lowest if people speak about others, about other people, other persons. So if they speak about plants, it's a higher intelligence. If they speak about how to resolve, so actually that particular point about speaking about others is the lowest intelligence, according to psychologists and, you know, whatever is out there qualifying.
Yes.
But even materially speaking, that's not something that calls for, oh, how intelligent that person is, speaking about the bad qualities or even good qualities, because speaking about others is not really quite of substance, if not beneficial for any kind of society.
Unless the others is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. Radhikesh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a wonderful class. You were speaking about patience and Mukunda and 10 billion lifetimes. How do we develop patience in our own practice, so when there's times that seems like we're not making any progress or the progress is slow or going backwards, whatever it may be, what can we do to keep practicing and moving forward as slowly as we may go?
Well, there's a beautiful couple of verses in the 11th canto with a wonderful purport that's somewhat similar. And the verse says that, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery.
11:20.
Yeah. And, resolving to give up sense gratification, but still falling into sense gratification, one should continue in devotional service in a happy mood. And so our acharyas say that, in a happy mood means that he has confidence that eventually Krishna will be merciful. It's not within his power to overcome these weaknesses. It's only possible if Krishna gives his mercy. And he's confident that one day Krishna will give his mercy, maybe today or tomorrow or in 10 years or in 10 lifetimes or in 10 million lifetimes. But one day Krishna will be merciful, and with that confidence, he continues in a happy mood. That's one answer. Another answer is that we need both enthusiasm and patience. Srila Prabhupada said that patience without enthusiasm can lead to lethargy. And enthusiasm without patience can lead to a desire to control. So we need both of these. And if, we have to be patient and we have to have faith. but we may also need to improve in ways. We should continue. Okay. So by improving our practices, we could accelerate our results. But ultimately, it depends on mercy. No matter what endeavor we make, ultimately we depend on mercy. So.
So our own effort is not so important or necessary, because that I would think that may make somebody a little bit lazy, like, oh, Krishna will fix this when he wants. I'm just going to keep going, whatever I'm doing, and be happy in it. I mean, where does our own effort come into it, and our own discipline?
Well, there are two words, like in logic, necessary and sufficient. Your own efforts are necessary, but they're not sufficient. You need Krishna's mercy with your own efforts. Like we have the example of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna. That when Krishna saw her hard labor, parishram, saw her hard labor, he felt merciful, Krishna Kripa. So that combination of parishram, our own hard labor, with Krishna's mercy, will allow us to bind Krishna.
How do we attract that mercy a little quicker, if possible?
Well, by working harder.
Thank you.
Okay, when does the RT end? When does it? All right, yeah. All right, so we'll make this the last one, and then we'll join the RT.
I heard from that if someone hears about something not a good contents, and the intention of the person was not favorable, because ultimately all the rules regulation has a purpose to bring close to Krishna. That's the whole purpose of our spiritual practice. So if someone hears, before he speaks, he should try to purify in the heart, because once it comes out, he says the ill motive is not as dangerous as criticism, because criticism, when it comes out, it poisons as many people hears. But when somebody hears just himself or herself, there's a chance he can purify within the heart by begging mercy and prayers and chanting. But he should not, or she should not, speak out about that, because it will literally, it will not be that possible to purify that easy, because who knows how many will hear, and it will go on. So that's why criticism is worse than hateful feeling it.
Thank you. I mean, it's, that's what we're talking about, not to speak badly about others. And you brought us to the proper and correct conclusion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhupada Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
Namaste, Sarasati Dore, Varavani Bejarina, Nivisasa, Shunyavadihi, Pasyachari Shedharina. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna